Gospel reading this morning is from the book, that's not our gospel reading. Our Old Testament reading is from 1 Kings chapter 7, verses 8 through 16. Listen for the word of our God. Then the word of the holy God came to the prophet Elijah, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Holy One, your God, lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, and we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the provider, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail, until the day that the one true God sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the faithful and true that God spoke by Elijah. This is the word of our God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for the many ways that you provide for us. We give you thanks for your word. And we give you thanks for the ways that there just keeps being more when we come back. Help us to hear what you have for us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be that woman? I've been thinking about her a lot this week. Later in the text, it says she has an upper room, so she was maybe fairly well-to-do. But what's happened is that Elijah has told Ahab, by the way, this is the first we hear of Elijah in 1 Kings 17. He goes to King Ahab and says, "There will be no more rain or moisture, whatever, but except by my word." And then he goes to a brook and is fed by ravens. Then the brook dries up, and he hikes. I looked it up on Google Maps. It's about 80 miles as the crow flies, so if you were trying to take the walk today, it'd take you about 45 hours in the middle of a famine, in the middle of a drought. He's hiking for days to get to Zarephath. It's kind of out there. It's way up past the northern tip of Israel. And I need to point out, I've heard this story done badly. You've heard the people who are like, "It means you need to give to God before you take care of yourself." And I tell you, you end up with women with empty pantries giving sacrificially to make sure that their pastor can afford to live in his mansion, and I am not about that. I've seen it done, and it is disgusting. What's it like to be her? She's just going out, she's gathering two sticks. New Revised Standard says a couple of sticks. It's two. She's trying to get two sticks to rub together to... And she's out in the gate of the city, and all she's got is just that little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and her son's probably at home waiting for mom to come back with the sticks. Can you even imagine? And then this guy shows up, this random guy that she has never seen before, and he says, "Can you bring me a little water in a vessel so that I can have something to drink?" And you know, it's a drought. He's just walked 45 hours at least worth of travel. Thirsty makes sense. And she looks at him and she's like, yeah, I can do that. And she heads back in through the gate of the city toward where she lives, toward her house. And the stranger yells, could you also make me a little piece of bread? Just no big deal. Not looking for a lot, just a little bit. And she says, as the Holy One, that's the divine name there, your God lives. She says, your God. Did you pick that up? Your God, not my God, your God. She's not a worshiper of the God of Israel. She says, as the Holy One, your God lives, I have nothing baked. All I've got is a handful of meal in a jar, little oil in a jug. I'm gathering some sticks. I'm going to go home, make it for my son. We're going to eat it. There is no sign of this drought letting up. This is it. Fun fact, Zarephath is known for its olive oil. There's no oil left. All they've got is just this little bit left. And Elijah says, well, the stranger just says, go, but, and he's got some nerve, but make some for me first. And he looks probably pretty hungry. And she thinks about it and she says, this is how I imagine it going down. She says, ah, what the heck? We're going to die anyway. I might as well do one last good thing before I go. So she goes, you know, best case, maybe there'll be more food. Worst case, we'll die a couple days earlier. Put us out of our misery. So she goes back home, thinking the whole time, going, why am I doing this again? She walks all the way. She goes up into her house. She starts rubbing the two sticks together, making the fire, cooks it up, and it's starting to smell good. And, you know, I could just eat this. I could just give this to my son, and we'd be okay for a little bit longer. She goes outside, and the prophet's waiting there. She gives it to him. And she just kind of stands there. Well, we're just going to die. And he says, why are you standing there? Why don't you go inside and make one for yourself? And she goes, okay. And as she goes back into the house, she sees her son in the doorway. And he says, hey, Mom, didn't you just use the last of the oil and the flour? Because there's some still in here. She looks back at the prophet. She looks back at her son, and she goes inside and she makes them more food. She pours it out, and then she looks inside, and there's just a little bit more in there. Huh. Just a little bit more flour, a little bit more oil. What do you think happens to the town because of that? You think she's going to be able to keep that to herself? The Bible says that her entire household is able to eat throughout the whole drought, but you don't think she would have shared a little bit with her neighbors? Huh? Yep, just a little bit more in there. I can make some for you. Huh, still a little more. And the whole town, maybe. Who knows? Maybe the whole town gets rescued because in the moment she says, now what the heck? We're all going to die anyway. I might as well do something good. Might as well go out doing something good. Just one little good deed. Elijah stays with her for a long time, and then he goes off and does that showdown with the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel where he calls fire down from heaven. All kinds of other various miracles. He anoints Elisha to be his successor, who does, by count, twice as many miraculous things as Elijah did, and he gets caught up to heaven on a chariot of fire. Years later, when John the Baptist shows up, John the Baptist is cosplaying, is dressed up as Elijah. And when Jesus reads the passage, that Amy read for us this morning, he talks about Elijah and this woman. And it all hinges on that one moment where she goes, what the heck, might as well do something good. If she doesn't do that, all of this future stuff, remember, we just met Elijah. We just met him. He's commanded there's going to be a drought. If she doesn't feed him, he's just, none of this happens. No one even remembers who that person is. One good deed. Just one. Because we don't know how the little things that we do are going to branch off into things that we cannot even believe. A number of years ago, I was going through a really hard time, and my friend Aaron took me to a small group gathering. I've probably told this story before. Took me to a small group. Actually, he said, he didn't take me. He told me that we were going because I kept complaining to him about what a hard time I was having. At that small group, I met someone who introduced me to the camp that I ended up going to, which led to me going to college. And I met Kristen at the camp. Ended up going to college. And where I met the professor who told me he'd write me a letter of recommendation to go to seminary. College was also where I met the gentleman who told me that I could actually afford to go to seminary. Went to seminary and became a preacher, and it all goes back and hinges on that one moment where he said, we're going to this small group, whether you like it or not. It all goes back to that one moment. And granted, there's a bunch of those little hinge moments where someone says, you know, I could take this back to my professor saying, I'll write you a letter of recommendation for seminary when you're ready. And we all have those stories, right? Those moments where we didn't all end up becoming pastors, but we all have those moments we can go back to go, if it wasn't for that one thing that happened, that one time someone was kind to us, our story would not have gone the way that it did. We don't know. We don't know the power that the one little good deed that we have will do. And sometimes we can't even do the good deed. Sometimes all we can do is say a prayer. I don't know how much my life has been shaped by people I don't know praying for me. And quite frankly, I don't think any of us does. People that we didn't know were praying for us. People we didn't know were caring for us who did one kind deed. And I think that's how God works, like in that quote that I had at the beginning of the service, which I don't have. I don't have that in my bulletin because I don't have a copy of the bulletin. Left it down there. But he said that God, how does God command? Because look at the beginning. It says, God tells Elijah, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. I don't think she recognized that she had been commanded already. But the church father that I referenced at the beginning says, in the quote in your bulletin, he says, how does God command except by that impulse to do good? Or something to that effect. You've got it in your bulletin. Inspiring us to do good. So I invite us this week to look for where God might be putting little pivot moments in front of us where we can do one small good deed, and who knows where that transforms someone else's life. Who knows if that's a point where their life branches off in a better direction. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the good deeds, the small things that people have done that turned out to be massive in our lives and huge turning points that branched us off that they wouldn't have identified as such. That if you'd ask, that if you'd ask them, that they wouldn't have picked that up. Please help us to remember that and to do those good things when we have the chance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.